All right, so how are you going to work with the ego? How are you going to work with the ego as a friend, as an ally? How are you going to work with the ego benign? All right, we already started looking at some of it in during the question period. The ego that you realize that the ego is the one that's maintaining a certain distortion or a certain twist to the way you perceive things, to your reality. It's going to give you feedback with interpretation. What you want to be able to do is to be able to look at feedback without putting a spin on it, before you put your spin on it, before you check out the spin on it. Just see if you can imagine having no judgment whatsoever for any feedback that comes to you, any circumstances that come to you, anything, any physical manifestations that come to you. What if you had no judgment? What if you had no negativity associated with it? It wasn't good or bad or oh darn, this is the last thing I need right now. What if you were able, when you were encountering something that normally you judged, or even if it was a positive thing, oh man, this is the best thing, wow, this is fabulous. What if you didn't put any of those spins on it? What if you had no judgment on it? See if you can kind of, see if you can see the feedback, inner and outer, for what it really is. All right? The feedback, first of all, the first part of the feedback, as we mentioned earlier, is the perception of what is or what has happened, right? There's the brain sensory feedback, and then there's the mind. Now, the mind will immediately try to start interpreting. That's just what mind does. You've usually given it to the ego to continue the interpretations from your childhood or adolescence or whenever. But just for a moment, just see how the mind is just itching to put a spin on it. Just itching to process it. Right? But just be aware. This is natural feedback that you get. Anytime anything happens, say, okay, here's an illusion. I'm putting energy out. And I may not know what energy I put out to get what is coming in right at the moment, but I can see what's coming in. I can see what's coming to me. I can see what the circumstances are in my life right now. I can see what feedback I'm getting from my reality about money. You know, how much money is there, you know, the income stream, whatever it is. I can see that's feedback about money. Now, before I put any spin on it, oh no, it's not enough. I don't know what I'm going to do about it. Oh no, what a bad scene. Or, oh my gosh, am I actually really making any income at this time? Blah, 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 blah. Before you put any spin on it, just see it as feedback. That's it. Okay. Because you see, here's the place where you got to keep your power. Don't give your power away to anybody. Don't give it away to ego. At all. Just stay with it. Stay present with it. Okay? Because if you start a spin and you start getting a spin and you see reactive, knee-jerk reactions going on, you could very well be giving your power away to the external reality. Very easy to do. That's a child's perspective, an adolescent's perspective. But you are a spiritual being. You are an adult. So you want to start there. Clear. Now, once you can get that and just kind of get a glimpse of it, it doesn't last long. You don't have to hold it and sit there with it being just blank feedback, without context, without spin. All right? You just don't sit there. As long as you kind of get the essence of it, it's just feedback from the illusion. You have no charge on it. It's just what it is. Right? And you're in your empowered state. Once you get there, you go to step two. Step two is where you listen to what the ego spin on it is. Basically, you look for the ego spin. Sometimes the game between you and the ego is that when you're looking for the ego spin, suddenly the ego is very quiet. Right? Mm-hmm. So you may have to do a little pretense, and you just may have to go back to step one, give your power away, and see what happens. Do it consciously, of course. Don't lose it, and don't forget, you know, do it, and then you'll find that automatically, as soon as you give your power away to your external circumstances, boom, the interpretations just start flooding in, okay? Because, of course, the ego doesn't really function well as long as you're in your power, rather the negative or toxic ego. The positive ego is fine with you being in your power. It has no interference whatsoever with you. It's just waiting to work with you, all right? So you want to hear what the toxic ego has to say. You want to hear what the distortions are. You maybe even, if there's something big that you're working on, specifically, these, you know, it might be something that you might want to write down even. Just listen to all the negative beliefs that are there, the limiting beliefs, the emotional knee-jerk reactions, and you say, well, you know, I can see, oh, here's the reaction from me as the, you know, the princess. You know, oh, why do I have to put up with this? Why do I have to put up with such stupid people? You know, everybody knows the princess, right? Now, within your identity, within your self-image, see, the three places the ego presents you the distortions, the most pivotal one, the most important one, is your self-image. So if your reactions are from you, the spoiled brat, you, the princess, you, the rebel, you, the martyr, you see, then you go, okay. Then you can see what identification you have, what your self-image is being, what your toxic ego is maintaining as an image for you. Hey, your reality is reflecting that you're still, you know, powerless adolescent, frustrated, angry young man or woman, right? Oh, maybe now you're an older man or woman, but you're holding that identification as the hostile, angry one, you know, which is the dark side of the passionate one. Right? So look at the old, and then look at your knee-jerk emotional responses, any judgments you make. You see, that's the twist, the negative ego, in your subconscious. These are the habitual reactions. And listen to the story. This always happens because. What are the cause and effects you have attached to it? Whenever this kind of thing shows up, it's because. You know, or the metaphysical one, trap one, that the ego gives you to see yourself as inadequate. Why did I create this? You're already judging yourself for having created it. All right? Just perceive that. As you judging yourself as some, gosh, have I bamboozled myself again? I keep doing that. That's your story. The ego story. So see what the implications are there. You may, if you have an unfinished issue that really bugs you, you may have to sit here for a while. And you may need to come back occasionally. You know, and maybe an hour later or the next day even, to kind of get, you know, more input on it. But this is very valuable because you want to know where the ego is coming from. Sometimes you'll get feedback from the unconscious mind about really truly limiting beliefs about reality. You know, money doesn't grow on trees. Well, you know, tell a really successful citrus farmer that. You know, and they'll go, ha. You know, well, money grows on my trees. I just have to harvest it. take it to market, and there it is. So look out how you hold beliefs that this is the way it is. This is the way it is, period. Carved in stone, right? Unconscious mind. It's these is from the collective. You can't ever do blah, blah, blah. People don't blank, you know, whatever it is. See if you find any of those. Now, they're not as frequent as the other two categories, but they may be there. You may see that this is just something because you are just a person and you're not perfect, that this is the way it has to be, kind of thing. That's also an ego thing. All right, now, once you get the beliefs, once you see the story, the knee-jerk reactions, all the emotional stuff and all the interpretations, and then you also see the reflection of your identity, who you see yourself as being, who your self-image is in your through the eyes of your toxic ego. Once you see that, okay, then the third step here is to personify the negative ego. Really bring it into focus and relate to it directly. Perceive it directly. Speak to it directly, one-on-one. Now, when you do this, you are absolutely distinguishing and making the distinction between who you are, the self that you are, and the ego. The self, the spiritual being, the true being, the self, I, the ego, I, right? Your ego identity there, your self identity here. Now, in order to do that, of course, you have to take your power back after step two and one. All right? So once you personify your ego, then you can see that the ego is just holding all your self-judgments, all those burdens and all the stories and all the blah, 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 blah. You've put on yourself, you've allowed to dump on yourself, you've claimed, you've owned as your own. And the ego is just holding it for you. But the ego's been the one that's been burdened by it. Now, yeah, you have too. But you've been pushing it away. Part of those old identifications is to kind of a denial of self or some kind of pushing it away and blaming it on external circumstance or losing your attention to it because it's unpleasant. So the ego's been carrying it for you, and boy, the ego resents it. You've given me way too much work to do. I have to tell you all your interpretations like you're some kind of nincompoop. Well, you are, says the ego. You are such a nincompoop. And I have to do all your work for you. And then you get all the credit if something good happens. So that's why I don't give you a lot of things that are good, because I don't want you to go there and sit and get the credit when I have to do all the work. Really fed up with that. So recognize that the ego's loaded up. Recognize what you've done to the ego. You've judged your ego. You've loaded it down. You've not been nice to your ego. Right? So when you realize that, forgive yourself. Hey, you did it because you didn't know any better, right? If you'd known better, would you have done it? Of course not. You were a child when you did it, when you set all this game up. So you forgive yourself for it. Look, I realize I did that. Wow. I really fall for that one. So anyway, I forgive myself for having really bought it hook, line, and sinker. And I forgive myself. And then apologize to the ego. And say, you know, I've blamed you for so much. I really am sorry. I apologize for that. I didn't know what I was doing. Now, the ego may not forgive you. Now, we will say that in the future, the personified ego will definitely do that. But it's in the future. When you're working with the ego, at first you realize that it's so pissed at you, there's no way it's going to trust you enough to be nice to it after it's forgiven you. Then it'll feel like the total fool that it forgave you, and then you went and dumped on it again. So it's not going to play your game. Ha, ha, ha. So ego's still just pissed, and you haven't really been listening to it. So let it spout. Let it talk to you. Let it holler at you. Let it jump up and down and do its thing. Okay? Give it permission to just lay into you how pissed it is, how much it hates you, how much it wants to just destroy you because I want to punish you for all the crap you've made me do. You taking all the credit for all my work. Really resent that. Let the ego get it out. And sit there and or stand there, however you're going to visualize it. And let the ego get it off their chest. And then forgive the ego. Forgive the ego. Say, okay, yeah, I see that I can see that your response was natural. I can see that it was, I would respond that way too. If I perceived myself being dumped on and overloaded and overstressed and overburdened. Yeah, I would have done that too. I'd have been really angry. I would have wanted to get even too. So I forgive you. Now, this kind of throws the ego a loop. It's not expecting you to do that. It's not even expecting that it ever gets a chance to really blow at you. So it's like now a bit disoriented. And that's good, right? Because that part of the ego, the toxic part of the ego, you definitely don't want it in clear and focused intent, right? You want to kind of dissolve that. That's what happens, right? So basically you thank the ego for all its feedback. And then you talk to the ego about the distortions and you explain to the ego just like, not like a child. Don't be condescending to it. Just like you're talking to a friend and that you're kind of processing with, right? Oh, look, I did pick that up as a child and I got that attitude and so on. So don't blame the ego. Don't judge it. Just say, you know, this is where this came from and I can see that and so on. And so when that happens, when you forgive the ego, you go to step four, you basically then step into your light being self. Claim your reality creator self. Claim your divine being that you are. Your light, your spark of light. And take the ego off the hook. You've put it on the hook for your life. Ever since you've realized that you and the ego are two distinct functions and you've had a distinction between you and it, you've blamed it for everything. You've kicked it about. Take it off the hook. It's not going to be for blame. You're not going to blame it anymore. It's not going to be to blame for anything that happens. You may want to say this to the ego and, you know, it doesn't matter. They don't believe you anyway. You can't believe anything they've been telling you, have you? No, they can't, and they don't believe anything you're telling them. They're just always looking for your vulnerable place. They're always looking for your weakness. Because they feel weak. You know, what does a child or an adolescent always look for? They always look for the other person's weak place where they can shame them. Where they can embarrass and humiliate them. Yeah, now he found your vulnerable spot. No wonder you've spent so much of your life fearing being vulnerable. Right? So you take your ego off the hook. You take responsibility for your reality from this time forth. You say this to the ego. I take responsibility for my reality, for everything that comes to me from this time forth. And therefore, I'm going to expect that I'm going to line up now new energies for this particular issue, for this particular thing I'm working on here. And I'm going to set up the contextual parameters. I'm going to set up the story. I'm going to set up the emotions and the interpretations, and I'm going to set up the image of who I am as I work with this particular issue. And I'm responsible for doing that. So I take you off the hook, ego, for having to do that, and I give you back the easy position, the natural position for you, which is being the translator. I'm going to make it easy for you. And in step five, with that, you then decide what you would like to experience differently in this particular pattern or a particular issue that you would like to heal. Because you see, you work best with your ego if you work with some kind of issue around manifestation. If it's about manifesting a love relationship, manifesting money, manifesting a healing or health issue, or manifesting some kind of opportunity for education or whatever it is you want to seem to manifest that you've had difficulty manifesting. This is an issue that can be really juicy for you. So you want to redecide. You want to look at what you would rather have as your story. This is where you write your new story. Here's what would be natural to you. Now, it's important for you to realize what your temperament is here. To realize what your natural values are. What you prioritize. What you enjoy. What you feel motivated towards naturally within yourself. What kind of lifestyle you want. It's important for you to realize all these aspects of your physical plane life identity that's part of you, the self. So that when you make this new decision, it doesn't look like the same energy, it doesn't look like the same, exact same pictures of as you've had in the past, where you've been trying to fulfill certain images and beliefs that were in brought into play years ago. You'll see it from a perspective in which you manifest this thing, whatever it is that you're wanting to manifest, and you're manifesting it in as easy and relaxed and an organically natural unfolding way as some other area of your life in which you do it really well. Like when we were in the question and answer period, when, for example, Nancy and her friend. Yeah, it's just easy. She expects success there. She expects it. She doesn't work hard for it. It's just something that she sees as natural to her. It's natural for her to have friends. Easy. No big deal. She loves them. She has a good time with them. She has great resources. She knows how to interface and interact and play. But the area of concern is not the same. So you want to take the energy and the beautiful feelings and the contexts and the and everything that's so clean and clear over here as an idea on how it's going to feel like when you clean up in your issue of concern. Just take one and apply it, the ease one, and apply it to the hard one until you can kind of reimagine your issue area as being as easy and as flowing and as effortless and as natural to who you are as some other area of your life. And every one of you has some area that goes really smoothly in your life. So you shouldn't have a hard time finding something, right? You'll notice that where you have it smoothly, you don't have lots of extra charge on it. It doesn't have this heavy-duty weight. Woo, oh my gosh, it's heavy. It's, oh gosh, how am I going to deal with all of that? I've got to really do a lot of work, and I got to do this, and I got to da-da-da-da-da. And I really, really hope, please, 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 please let me get it this time. Oh, can I trust myself? Can I trust that I'm going to do it okay? Am I going to make the right decision? Oh, gosh. It's such a big decision. I don't know if I can. You know, you don't make that and that other in your positive flow issue or situation. So let it go. Imagine how it'd be if it were easy, just so, so easy, so flowing. What would be your self story? How would you see yourself? What would be your positive ego story? How things unfold for you in this area? Recreate it now. Okay? Imagine how you'd like to feel. Imagine who you see yourself as being all the way through. Now, if you want more detail on this, if you want more detail on dreaming and manifesting and setting it up and getting all the energies right and working on it and the nuances there, we have done workshops on these topics. We've done one called Seven Secrets of Reality Creation, and another one is Creating the Life of Your Dreams, and, you know, that gives you more detail on how to build the new image. But the essence of it is that you have that same energy. And then the sixth step, is to once again look at the distorted images. And any healing that needs to be done there, any releasing, any healing of your relationship with other people or circumstances, anything that needs to be completed. Maybe there's a child need or an adolescent need or an image need that you could look at that, oh gosh, I still have this need for approval. I still have this need to feel valuable. Oh, okay. So that's undermining, you know, this whole situation, because here in this issue, I don't feel valuable. Right? So maybe you might want to work with a side issue that you find. It may not be necessary. You may only need to identify it. But if you can make the energy shift, if you can imagine everything flowing smoothly, you may not have to do a lot of work with an issue. But if you do find an issue that seems to be, gosh, this keeps showing up, why don't I just deal with some of this now? It may require a little bit more forgiveness of yourself. It may be requiring that you once again forgive your father or whatever it entails. Or working with inner child or working with inner adolescent so that they feel satisfied, so their needs are taken care of and they're not freaked out. Working with other parts of yourself to make sure that you're basically healing and all, things are coming into alignment with each other, that you can be more unified. And then you look at, well, what beliefs are required? What new beliefs? And what patterns must change? Right? Now, when we talk about this one of the things that always seems to happen is that as far as moving towards manifestation, everybody's like, oh yeah, this is where I have to do all this work and everything. And then once we manifest, and that's a whole thing. So what we would suggest here as part of this step is to imagine that you do not get what you want. And then we went through this with Nancy too. If you don't get what you want, how do you anticipate and expect you're going to respond? And what's a negative ego response going to be there? What's the twists and distortions that would show up there? What would be the reinforced limited self-image and reinforced limited beliefs? And what would go into your ego story if you didn't get it? Now that you, okay, I made all these changes and so forth, and now we're moving forward. Oops, I didn't get it. Right? Disappointment. Okay, what do you have attached to disappointment? Is there any judgments? Make sure that you can do the same process for the future for you not getting what you want until you take the charge off of it. You see, what you want to do is to recognize if you don't get what you want, that you can still look at it as feedback from a powerful reality creator point of view. Scratch your head a little bit and say, let's see what I missed. Make it even an intriguing kind of exploration. Okay. Just imagine what would it be like if you could respond that easily, if you didn't take it personally, right? If your ego boundaries weren't too small, or maybe your ego boundaries too wide, too huge, that when you don't get what you want, you think, well, then you blame it on the consensus reality. You blame it on the way it is. What would be your rationale, you see? What would explain why you didn't get it? So you want to see what that is, and you want to figure out your new response to it. If you have any example in any other area of your life where you've been disappointed and that's kind of strange, and then you've gone on to kind of heal it and move on, and okay, that was very important positive feedback for me to even have that disappointment in that other area of your life. Maybe that's what you said to yourself there. Then imagine not having charge on it. Imagine not making a big deal about it. Feeling it, okay, I feel the disappointment, but without any judgment. Without attacking, without any blame, without a whole bunch of lists of reasons why that imply all sorts of stuff. See if you can kind of imagine how you could do it really cleanly, really clearly. Now, once you do that, then imagine yourself getting what you want. Now, how are you going to respond? And believe it or not, many times there's just as much distortion there as there is on not getting what you want. Why? Because a lot of times you get what you want, and if your self-image and your perception of your self-image isn't big enough to hold it in your reality, you're terrified you're going to lose it. Oh gosh. Oh, I got it now. Oh my gosh. Look at the implications of that. Look at the demands on me. Look at the pressures on me. Now I have to live up to this high standard all the time. Now people are going to expecting so much more of me. Now I'm going to have to do so much more. Now I'm going to have to be like this and I'm to be like that. And I have to have this lifestyle and that lifestyle. I'm going to lose some of my free time. I'm going to. So you ask, okay, if I get what I want, what could go wrong? How could I lose it again? Or what could it do to me that could be an unpleasant outcome? Could it be a negative to get what I want? You know, the old saying, watch what you ask for because you might get it. Because sometimes when people get it, they go, oops, that's not what I wanted. Not really. So this would be the chance to see it before you have to go through that whole loop in physical plane manifestation. Go through it in your mind. What could be the downside of getting what you wanted? And clear that the same way. Some of you feel that if you get what you want, then you're under tremendous pressure to hold on to it. What's it going to require to hold on to it? Means you don't think you're up to it. You're up to that level. Maybe you don't feel like you really deserve it. Right? Maybe that's where you need to work. Because, of course, if you don't think you can deserve it or you don't think you're capable of handling it, you'll find a way to remove it from your reality. No problem. Easy as pie. Ego will be happy to do that for you. Okay. Once you clear that. Now, do you still want the same thing? If you'll notice, once you're done with those two, that what you have desired will have kind of gone through some kind of morphing and shifting and changing, and it'll be more honed. Now, redecide what it is you want. Feel what it would feel like to have it. Who is the you that can create that, can allow that, can manifest that and hold on to it and work with it and go on from there? That's natural to you with ease and flow. Now you got somewhere. Now you got somewhere. Now, the seventh step is taking that image now and expand it and move forward into the future and look at the impact of what this experience would be on your life, on who you are, and how it would feel like to live your life in every area of your life now, all your areas of your life, like that. And that flow, and that harmony, building, and exploring more, having more, enjoying more. Just seeing yourself going higher and higher with more joy and love and valuing yourself and having a good time. And you love yourself. Now, when you're doing this, you're realizing that the ego will fulfill whatever contexts you give it. Whatever self-image you give it, whatever it is that you give it. This is at the point where you give it now to the ego. That new energy. You give it to the ego as a friend. Now, we're not saying you're trusting the ego. Don't do it. You're giving it to it as an ally and a friend. You know, sometimes you have people who are friends of yours that if you expect them to be good people, they'll very happily become better people because you see them as good people and you engage with them as beautiful people and they'll rise to the challenge. Do this for your ego as well. See it as a friend, see it as an ally, and with love and forgiveness for your ego to give it the context, give it this energy and say, okay, hey, you know, look how much easier it's going to be this time for you. You don't have to do all the spins on it. I've done the work. Here's the spins. Here's the energies. See how that works. Let's have some fun. Okay? Give it to the ego. See it down the line. See it, you and the ego working together all the way down the line. You see, what will happen then in the long term is as the ego and you both mature in this process, because this is a mature working process, you'll find that when you get to this thing of, okay, here's something I want that I seem to have a little difficulty with. You'll sit down with your ego and you say, okay, what's the dark spin on it? And the ego will say, well, blah, blah, blah. You've always done such and such in the past and that's still bleeding through. And basically your ego can give you a really good rundown of what still needs to be done. So your ego has a lot of feedback for you. Now it won't tell you what to dream and imagine. That's the positive stuff you put in there. But it will show you the limits. It will tell you the crap from the past. And out of that will be something that's still resonating. You go, oh, okay, yeah, that's right. And then you go through the process again and give the new resonance to your friend and ally. Over time, you will find that the ego will stop resenting you so much. Because you're not loading it down. Where it's being a friend of yours in the places where you're already having it fairly easy and flowing, will now also extend into the areas where previously it was not flowing, but it was kind of blocked and difficult. All of a sudden, things open up. Your ego working with you. This is the positive ego. This is you and ego working together the way it was intended. And once you and the ego kind of get this arrangement, you will find you will begin to trust yourself. What a feeling. What a marvelous feeling is that you can trust yourself because you know who you are. And you know where the ego's at. You see the boundaries. You know where your boundaries are. You don't take anything personally. Think of the freedom of that. What if you don't accept any judgments? Now, if somebody's judging you, you can listen to the judgment without accepting it as a judgment, knee-jerk reacting to it. Listen to it and say, is there something I want to learn with that? Is there something that they're reflecting to me, some feedback they're giving me that could be useful for me? Wouldn't that be freeing? rather than having someone judge you and you going into your all your whatever knee-jerk reactions, either the hostility and defense and rationale. But wait a minute, this is where it's at, and this is what I was doing, and this is what I was thinking. I really wasn't like that. Your case of your defense, you know? Better than any trial lawyer anywhere. Or perhaps pushing them away, say, I don't need any shit like this in my life. Go away. Or taking that judgment and saying, oh, I always knew I was inadequate. Don't react like a child or an adolescent or somebody that you were years ago. You don't need to go there anymore. And you don't need to take it personally, like somehow or another, just the universe is really after you. Well, you know who that is. That's the princess again. And men can be princesses too. And they don't have to be gay, all right? They can be fussy with their sense of order, and if you disturb it in the least, you hear that sound, you know, sometimes from dogs, you know, that are defending. Then they come up and they bark at you, but you're not threatening at all. But they want you to know, hey, this is my yard. So they're just kind of going, I'm the big dog. I'm the important dog. You know, they could be like, you know, six inches high, still be going. You don't want that part of your ego. You don't want to be there. Relax, enjoy, and laugh. Okay, so you make a fool of yourself. Ha! Laugh. That's how comedians did it. They would always be making idiots of themselves. They were all, sometimes the comedians or comedians were like overweight, and or they thought they were ugly, and they had horrible hair days, and they were doing things that were stupid and klutzy, and so, hey, let's just laugh. What else are we going to do? And they developed extraordinary senses of humor. Why can't you do some of that too? It doesn't matter whether you're skinny or fat or tall or short or ignorant or wise. Whenever you're going to make a mistake some of these days, you know? You're going to put your foot in your mouth. You're going to stumble over something. You're going to look like an idiot. Laugh. Because if you don't, your ego will get you. It will get you. It will glorify the humiliation. Yes! Ha, ha, ha! Score one for the ego, yeah. Or maybe this is worth 3 points. You don't want to put your ego through that, or yourself, right? You and the ego can be friends, allies. Now, we're not saying that you want to go and meet your friend on Wednesday at Starbucks, right? You know, that it's really your ego you're going to go meet. No. You don't act like that with your ego. You're not going to set up appointments with it just to hang out with it and enjoy its company. That's not what it's about. Right? It's a function. It's an ally. In a sense, it serves you. So that you can be the reality creator you came to be and do your mission. Do the purpose. Fulfill what you came to do. To realize yourself and then to share in the shift and the change on the planet. Why not? All right, so what we'd like to do here is take about maybe 2 minutes break. Not much, just enough that if you desperately have to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom. Otherwise, we're just going to the channel's going to come out of trance. We suggest you just do a little breathing. You think about some things and think about what issue you'd like to work with, because we're going to do a meditation. And then just a couple of minutes, then She'll go back into trance, and we'll take you through the meditation. All right. So, farewell.